We're going to look at that one verse. Actually, we're going to look at many verses, but the concept that is found in the 19th verse of Luke chapter 19 and then repeated in Luke chapter 2, verse 51. It is a thought in regards to pondering. Interesting. This verse has fascinated me for a long time. And now that I've studied it with quite a bit of intensity, I end up the study in some respects still wondering. There's a lot of, it's one of those things in Scripture that it really doesn't answer what she's pondering, and there is really no answer to exactly what she is, other than just common sense and looking at what had been communicated to her. But let me say this in regards, if you open your Bible, I want you to parallel, I do not have the 18th verse up there, but the 18th verse talks about a similar thought. One might conclude that it is the same thought, but it is not. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. So the other people that heard the witness of the shepherds were marveling. They were thinking about it. But in the original language, there's quite a significant difference from the marveling because of the tense of it. It was a one time. It was an aorist. It was punctiliar. It was a point in time. They thought about it. Now, how many times have we done that? You know, we have thought about something, and then 20 minutes later, you know, it's just gone. Anybody relate to that? I mean, you wish it wasn't that way, but that's the way it is. Now, in contrast, Mary ponders, and that is in the imperfect tense, and it has the concept of continuing to think about these things. She was meditating on. She was thinking about. This was contained, you know, it was at the forefront of her thought process. She was in the midst of this huge thing going on, and she was really overwhelmed trying to put the pieces together. It wasn't fitting all that well, no doubt. It was marvelous. It was frightening. It would have been all of those things. And she kept thinking over and over again. I hope at 51, then he went down. This is much later. He was a young man. He goes, he's 12, 13, goes down to the temple, and then he doesn't show up when the family left him behind. He's in the temple, and she goes back and hears about why. Well, I was in my father's house. Where do you expect me to be? And all of this stuff. He was very respectful, but he was a little amazed that she didn't understand where he might be in this situation. And her response to that, notice at the end, but his mother kept, we use the same English word, it's a different Greek word, but it has a very similar thought, but it is also in this imperfect tense, where this is a continuing thought that's going on. There's a continuation of it, she's sitting there. Now, in that regard, think about the big problems you've had, I think of expecting mothers. That's a beautiful analogy, actually. Expecting mothers think about the coming baby all the time. You know, it's just every aspect. It's nothing wrong with that. That's very natural. But that's the type of thing that's going on. It just kind of overwhelms. I see a lot of it on the negative side. If someone is has impending financial collapse ahead of them, it becomes very difficult to have any other thoughts. You know, you're just fearful of this. Or if you have a child who has departed from the faith and has gone off, I remember clearly when my daughter went to Iraq, that was frightening at the start. You know, I say that in a human sense. We turned it over to the Lord, but it was really concerning to think of her being over there in this war zone. Now, regrettably, we as a nation have gotten comfortable with this. You know, the thought of somebody being in Iraq for a year's deployment and then back again is almost, we all know people that are doing this and have done this. But at the start, that wasn't the case. And it was pretty, pretty consuming. And it is that type of consuming thought that is intended when it talks about Mary thinking about all that is going on. Now, I'm going to give, this is more of a topical type message, not a normal type of presentation of God's Word where we exegete a passage and take our points from the passage. But I'll tell you what, I'm going to close with what to me has had a deep impact on my own life in regards to how to use these truths of the Word of God. Luke is another example, going back, what was she pondering? Well, I'll tell you one thing, if I were her, I would have been pondering, it is in this 30th verse here. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor in God, and behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall be called his name Jesus." Now, there's a lot in that passage that would have taken a young 15-year-old girl or 16-year-old girl for a loop. One, that she's going to conceive without knowing a man. I mean, that would have been an overwhelming thought. But let me say, there is another piece of this that if you had been raised in this Jewish culture that was overwhelmed at this point in history with the coming of the Messiah, and the fact that his name is Jesus. Our names are kind of casually, to the parent, they're not casually, the parents select a name very carefully. But the rest of the culture, our names don't necessarily really define who we are, if you understand what I mean, not like it did in that day. The fact that angelically they were told, that's another piece of the puzzle, that they were to name him Jesus, which means Savior, would have had the anointed one. This is the Messiah. She would have known that. She would have been saying, that would have been a big thing to hear about the girl next door, and it still would have been, overwhelming thought to you. Wow, in our own community, finally the Messiah that we've been talking about, we've been hearing about since I was a little kid. And everyone else, my grandparents have been hoping for this. And it will be great, and to be called Son of the Most High, God will give him the throne of his father David. Now, we have almost a lady who is just a little young girl who is living just above poverty line, and she'd heard about the Davidic kingdom and the grandeur of it all. She'd heard about the thrones and, all of this. They had been told forever about what a great thing it was, and it would return someday. And now she's saying, "I'm going to be the mother of the king?" Think about that one for a second. I mean, that would have some thoughts in your mind. And he will reign over the house of Jacob for how long? That's pretty stunning. How does that work? I mean, I can grow. Do I live and does my son live beyond 60 or beyond 40 or beyond 70? Forever? This is, and his kingdom will never have no end. Mary said, "And how can this be since I do not know a man?" It's interesting. She came back to that very practical issue. And the angel of the Lord answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you, and therefore also the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, also conceived in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren." In this phrase, "For with God nothing will be impossible." I suspect she held on to that one. I suspect if she was able to have her wits about her, those words would have been, you talk about the do not fear being comforting, the reminder that for with God nothing is impossible would have been a calming thought. Because reason I say that, it is for me. I recognize that the older I get and the more I experience different events in my life, the more I recognize that, you might as well relax. Somehow or another, God has this worked out, even if you can't figure it out. And tomorrow will happen, and we'll get there. And with all of my thoughts and all of my plans and all of my worries, it's still going to happen the way God wants it to happen. And we can rest in that. Going to Luke chapter 2. Now this was Simeon, remember, this would have been a little, you talk about what you ponder. This would not have been too comforting. Simeon, this older man, comes up, takes their baby, holds him and says, "God has answered my prayers, I can die now." That's basically saying, my life is totally complete. I've seen your baby, and that's it. That's it. That's my whole purpose in life. I've been waiting my whole life. If God strikes me down before I walk out of this temple, I am fine with this. That was the message. And he gives her a prophecy. And at this point, she would have been very sensitive that God seems to be communicating pretty directly with me. This is the message. Behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel and for a sign which will be spoken against. Now that, right there, the fall and rising of many, in other words, this is not going to be smooth sailing. That's the message. You know, I think of, you know, that email, and I received another one this afternoon. It's the situation in Central African Republic is deteriorating. Think about that. You know, that's kind of the words that were being delivered here. This is going to create almost civil war going on, and not everyone is going to end up on the right side of this. And literally, that's what's to happen. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also. Well, how pointed is that? She would know what a sword is, and she knows her heart, that would be her, the way of saying your heart, will be pierced deeply. That was not a positive message, I don't think, in this context, and I don't think she would have taken it that way. That the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Not comforted, not blessed, but revealed. In other words, you're going to see who is on the right side and who's on the Lord's side. You know how we sing that song? Who is on the Lord's side? Well, you're going to see it, Mary. And unfortunately, it's going to be kind of sad because there's going to be a fair amount of people that are not coming to the party the right way. Now, you know she never got it all together. Because in Mark chapter 3, later on, now this is in his adult ministry, we have comments like this. And then the multitude came together so that they could not so much as eat bread, but when his own people, that's an interesting translation in the New King James. It's really stating that it is the kin family, the kinship family. That's the Greek words, the kinship family of Jesus heard about what Jesus had been doing and saying. And what were their conclusions? He is out of his mind. This is Mary and her other children are coming. He's lost it. We got to rescue him. This is out of control. That's basically what they were saying, and that's what they're attempting, but Jesus would have no part of it, obviously. John chapter 7, verse 5 reminds us that even his brothers did not believe him. So what I am saying to you is that she's pondering all these things. She has been given an enormous amount of data, but it is so much. It is so much. She isn't able. God doesn't open her heart totally to understand this. In some respects, that must have made even different portions of this journey even more challenging. One of the key items for us to keep in context is that she would not have thought of the cross as part of the program. That was not taught in the Jewish circles at this time. It's obviously in Isaiah 53. It is there in the Old Testament, but was not the prevailing thought. The prevailing thought is that whoever is the Messiah is going to come in, set up an army, and overthrow the Romans, and then really become the dominant military and political force in all the world. And that's the only thing they were thinking. They weren't really even thinking of him as a savior of their sins. Because they were quite comfortable in their religious system. And that's kind of what I was talking about this morning. This is not your father's religion, what the Magi were saying. Listen, these are really different now. And that's why these foreign priests that are astrologers, you know, think about that in our context today. Worshippers of the stars, that type of concept, they had come out of seeking truth. Now, we pray that they would have come to a full understanding of who the Messiah is, and they may well have. They may have by the time they got to see the baby Jesus. That's very, very possible, but we don't know. But we do know it was pretty stunning what was going on. Now, having said that, very briefly, what do you think Mary would ponder if you tried to put yourself in Mary's position? What would you think about? Well, as a parent, I honestly believe it would start with this. What does this mean for the future of her son? She would ask that. ones that without children would not fully recognize how powerful it is to have children and then start thinking about where they're headed. You know, you can have your own career. I remember when my first children came in, I was very, very focused on business success and career. But I'm telling you, when my first child came, that caused me to rethink this. Not enough, and I regret that I hadn't got a better perspective faster in that regard, but just the mere fact that I had a child, Mary would have been thinking that too. How does this all fit together? How is he going to go from being a carpenter in Nazareth to this political force, this military force? That would have been pretty perplexing. She would have been pondering, how can this happen? And what does it mean for her future? She's a poor, very economically deprived to be the mother of the king. Now, recognizing she would have thought in that terms, and she never experienced that in a human standpoint. She saw her son crucified, but she would have thought in those regards. And third, I think, although it would definitely be behind, just like she thought, first of all, how could I be pregnant without ever knowing a man, was the first thought, you know, her first question that she ends at the end of that phenomenal statement about what her son was going to be. She would have had some interest in what the country had. She was a devout, committed follower of Jehovah. So she would have been asking herself, what is this going to look like for the country? Could this really be? Now, I say that to say that a more important question is, how should we ponder Christmas? How should we ponder what we go through? We do it every year, year after year. And, you know, what does Christmas mean to us? Have some thoughts in that regard. What should we ponder regarding Christmas? One, for me, it is important to see this young girl and her husband, who, by the way, was now have with his wife that he had not known, was with child, and they were given this message of what was going to happen. They had been visited by an angelic being, he was confronted with, take her as your wife. The courage, the faith, the submission of these two. To me, I ponder that. Say, Lord, help me to grasp and incorporate that into my life. I also thought about, no one is too poor and too insignificant to have personal experience with God. I'm thinking of the shepherds who are individuals. You know, and we as a ministry have opportunities in this. We have people that come into our house of worship that have very, very little, and in some respects are challenged in other social ways. But to recognize that they're precious in God's eyes. And I'll tell you what I say to myself, be careful. I honestly say that to myself, be careful, because the flesh would say, get out of my life, man. I got other things to do. I'm too busy. I do not need to spend 15 minutes understanding what should be able to be communicated in about 2 seconds. You understand what I'm saying? And I'm just being very transparent with you. But I say to myself, listen, you better be careful, because there's going to be a day when you're going to account for this. And every individual is made in the image of the Creator. The fact that shepherds were chosen to be the witness when they weren't even acceptable witnesses in their legal system, and they were the first witnesses of the birth, that's pretty stunning. That's a message of how we of all people need to have a humility on interacting with others. From the Magi, I'm reminded of that God speaks to anyone who will listen. And he leads anyone who will follow. Every step of the way, every day of your life. Now that's a beauty. You know, yesterday I got up and I had some pretty challenging meetings set for the day. Pretty difficult interventions. You know, they were just tense situations. You know, we understand what they look like, and you wish, you know, I was saying to myself, man, I wish there would be somebody to send somebody else. I can call up Pastor Pete and send him or something. You know, just send somebody else. I don't want to go to this. But there's a beauty when you say, Lord, you know I wouldn't have chosen this. I have. But in the same token, you appear to have chosen me to do this. And so let me just do it in a way that'll bring honor to you. And help me not to say something stupid, to make the situation more painful or worse, but just bring resolution. If that would be reconciliation, we are to be the messengers of reconciliation. There's a power in that. And it was helpful for me to meditate on how the Magi, with such limited information, were faithful. Because they were seeking, they were listening, and they were following. On the fourth, I have seven of these actually. I didn't preach on it this Christmas, but I have a couple Christmases ago. Cruel Herod. And what he did to those babies, just, you know, I do not like, might sound funny to you, but violent movies, I don't like them. Pam would attest to that, or, you know, a television program or this counts. I don't like seeing that. I can't handle that very well. And the thought of what that man did to the mothers and the children and the families when he went and slaughtered them was just stunning. But we are reminded how foolish it is to hinder the purposes of God. It didn't do anything in regard to the change in God's plan. Because God had cared for Mary and Joseph and the baby Jesus just fine. And he never even got close to interfering in that way. And his throne wasn't any more protected. As a matter of fact, it was far less, because he was in direct defiance with God Almighty. Five, the Lord whom we are to serve for eternity came down here to serve us. That's what Matthew chapter 20, verse 25, actually verse 28. I didn't come to be served, but to serve and give my life a ransom for many. You know, that's something to remember this Christmas. And the Lord whom we are to love came and demonstrated ultimate love to us. He died for us. Romans said, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Think about that when you interact with others. How he did not measure his response to us as sinners. He reached out to us with everything in love, sacrificially giving himself totally to meet our needs. And the last one, and I end this group, and then I'm going to share with you a personal application. Every time we celebrate the Lord's table, almost every time, we end up reading the 26th verse of 1 Corinthians chapter 11. What does it say? We are to celebrate the Lord's table over and 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 over until when? He comes. And we of all people ought to be sensitive to this, because you know what? The stage is more in position to have the prophecies that are laid out in Scripture today than they've ever been before. And with the capabilities that exist in our day and age, for some of those things that in Revelations, from when I was a small boy, seemed really hard to understand, are now, oh yeah. I mean, that everyone could witness this. And yet, I sit at a coffee shop, and I get a phone call from Thailand, and I can see a picture of my daughter and my grandchildren and my son-in-law. Or I can have our missionaries, the Straubs in Thailand, call me on Africa, call me on the phone, and we're face to face. Technology is phenomenal. Some of those things that you couldn't put it together just 20, 30 years ago, now even say, oh yeah, I can see, you know, I don't fully understand how it all come together, but it seemed very, very, very logical that it could happen very easily, especially with God in control. All right, pondering. Now I would like to share with you, we all know that my dear wife went through a bout for about 8 days. She was about as sick as I've ever known her, if not as sick as I've ever known her. One exception may have been when we first got married. At the very start, you were extremely ill for a short period of time. And then the rest of our marriage, you've been healthy for all practical purposes. But 8 days, it was quite frightening. And in the midst of that, I received an email from one of my grandchildren, an 11-year-old grandchild, who was motivated to communicate with Grandma and Grandpa to be an encouragement to us. And in her encouragement, now I'd been thinking about this pondering passage, and then I recognized when I read her email, that's exactly what she was saying to us. And so I thought I would close by reading this email. It actually is from my granddaughter, Isabel, Jason's youngest daughter. And it says, and I'll just read it word for word because it would be easier than me paraphrasing. Hi, Grandpa. I want you to know that I am praying for Grandma. I always thought, I laughed when I read that. Hey, hold on a second, Izzy. How about praying for me too? But it says, I'm praying for Grandma. I'm going to ask her about that when I talk to her here in the next day or so. But if you get a chance, read Grandma this email. Tell her that I love her very much and that whatever happens, God is in control. He knew that this would happen before she was born. Whenever I'm hurting, you know what I do? I just think about the future. And now she goes on and tells about what she thinks about. Think about Christmas and how wonderful it is that Jesus came down as a helpless baby to help us when we are helpless. Think about Easter when he rose again from the dead. Think, and then she's talking about what she is thinking about. I think about when my mom has her baby, Heather's expecting. All of this that you may feel, all of this that you are feeling will be gone. Grandma, just remember that God will never give us anything we can't handle. So when you think that you just can't handle being hurt, just remember that I love you so much and always will. And remember, God is in control. And then she put a P.S. at it, and I'm wondering whether the P.S. is for Grandpa. Probably is. Whenever I grow weary, I like to read Psalms 18. You should try it sometime. Also tell Grandma that I'm going to send her a video of me playing in the Christmas recital. Now, why did I end this? Did you hear what she was saying? She was saying, when things are tough, ponder on the greatness of our God and what he has already done. And pick those beautiful things in the future that are coming our way that you're looking forward to, and focus on those. And remember in all of this, God promises never to leave us nor forsake us. Pondering, meditation is an important aspect of victoriously living for Christ. Without it, it is just hard, cold, mechanical living. But with it, it is vibrant. And it is part of that healthy personal relationship that Christ wants with us. Amen? Heavenly Father, I thank you. I thank you for the opportunity to share these thoughts. I pray that they would be helpful. Use them for your glory, Lord. Use them in all of our lives, because at different points we all face challenges that seem to overwhelm us. But we recognize, even when they seem like that for us, they never, never overwhelm you. And we thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.